This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Kanairi. Thanks for joining us. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is teaming up with an international engineering company called AECOM and a laboratory called Pacific Northwest National Labs to test a system that physically removes blue-green algae from the water and then converts it into products including biofuel. It's been dubbed the Harmful Algal Bloom Interception, Treatment, and Transformation System, or HABITATS for short. The idea is not to wait until a massive algae bloom develops, like the one we saw last year, but to get to the cyanobacteria as it begins to bloom. The Corps recently conducted a pilot project of the process in Moorhaven, along the Rim Canal surrounding Lake Okeechobee. Joining me now to learn more are three of the people who are directly involved with this project. Dr. Martin Page is a research program manager with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Engineer Research and Development Center. Dr. Page, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Linda Nelson is a program manager in the Corps' Aquatic Plant Control Research Program and the Aquatic Nuisance Species Research Program. Dr. Nelson, welcome to Gulf Coast Live as well.
Thank you.
And Bill Colonna is a senior project manager with AECOM. Bill, thanks for your time.
I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to be here with the group.
All right. Our conversation is pre-taped, so we are not taking calls today, but if you would like to engage with us and other listeners via social media, you can do so on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So this research project is called Harmful Algal Bloom Interception, Treatment, and Transformation System. The acronym is HABITATS. How did this idea come about?
Sure, I can start with that one. This is Martin here. The HABITATS concept came about based on an increased awareness and incidence rate of harmful algal blooms across the country, and a need to have some capability as part of a broader tool set for addressing them, having some sort of capability to try and respond once one is out there to see what we can do in terms of mitigating its effects. And we feel like the best way to go about that in terms of mitigating one once it's already out there is to try and get that algae out of the water and the associated nutrients that are in that algae. But then a big question comes, well, even if you can do that efficiently, how do you manage that biomass? So one of the challenges with harmful algal blooms is that they can emit toxins. So if you're talking about taking that biomass out of the water, you need to be able to manage the associated waste, which could have potential toxins in it, and nobody wants that. So a big part of what we're thinking about and why we came up with the HABITATS sort of integrated approach for interception, treatment, and transformation was to think about that back end. What are we going to do if we can't get all that waste out of the water? How are we going to manage that efficiently? So one of the, I think, core principles of the approach is that we're looking at potential resource recovery options out of that. So as we process that waste and destroy any potential toxins in it, we're looking at resource recovery options, such as the recovery of and conversion of that material into biocrude.
This is being done in partnership with Pacific Northwest National Labs and AECOM Engineering Company. Bill, what kind of company is AECOM, broadly speaking?
Oh, broadly speaking, we're a multinational, a global consulting and engineering company. Here in Florida, we've got in excess of 2,500 employees, and we predominantly focus on transportation, port development, airports, water resources, a variety of different things.
And so this idea, this system that's being tested, is this something that you guys came up with, or what's the sort of the origin story of this idea?
Well, the origin story, I guess, really kind of focused back specifically to 2016 when there was some severe harmful algal blooms on the southeast and southwest coasts of Florida. And we began to look into ways to help mitigate this, to help the communities to come back from the problems associated with that. And That was basically the nucleus, looking at proven technologies that are, able to be put into practice, immediately, not something that's necessarily experimental, but something that's actually functional, something that's scalable and can be used to help out right now.
AECOM has been doing some algae removal in Lee County. Is that the same as this system, or is that an entirely different approach?
Well, I was the project manager in Lee County for 3 months back in 2018, and we used certain elements of the processing stream to do the work there. That was really when the governor issued the executive order designating the 9 counties as eligible for emergency funding. Lee County took the opportunity to do that, and we supported Lee County. That was more of an emergency response sort of an activity. Our collaboration with the Army Corps of Engineers is predominantly focused on, as Dr. Page said, helping mitigate the problem before it becomes one. So what we're really looking to try to do is to remove the algae at a stage when it's not as bad as it was back in 2018 when you had those horrible putrefying floating mats of algae. We're looking to try to mitigate the problem long before it gets to that point.
So this is a nip it in the bud rather than try to catch up once it's gone everywhere.
Yeah, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
So this testing that's being done in Moorhaven, is that still underway? How long will that go? What's the time frame we're looking at?
No, the project, the demonstration project's been completed. It was completed several days ago. Everything was, in my opinion, fairly successful. We were able to demonstrate the efficacy of the approach. And Dr. Page, you want to add anything to that, maybe?
Absolutely. So, and I'll kind of follow up on the previous comment by Bill as well, in that in the Habitats project specifically, we're looking at trying to manage that waste stream again in coordination and collaboration with Pacific Northwest National Lab in converting that waste stream into biocrude. And so what we did with the most of the concentrated algae that we collected during this demonstration project, that was shipped over to Pacific Northwest National Labs, and they're currently working on processing that and gathering data that will tell us how efficient we are in converting that to biocrude and looking at the requirements for energy and processing time, et cetera.
The news press story on this, the reporter they sent out there, it said that it's about not only removing algae from the water, but excess nutrients. Is that correct?
So the thinking there and the data is showing that there's a significant fraction of the nutrients within the algae itself.
Okay.
Many types of water. So algae tend to be nutrient limited, nitrogen, phosphorus being key nutrient sources. So those contribute to bloom formation, but the algae also kind of serve as a reservoir or kind of a means of soaking those up from the environment with the aid of sunlight. So by getting the algae out, you're taking out also the nutrients, the nitrogen and phosphorus that they've taken into their own cells.
Hmm. Dr. Linda Nelson, you're with the Corps Invasive Species Research Program. Where does that fit into this puzzle?
Yeah, you're correct. So I manage the Corps' 2 invasive species research programs, and it is the aquatic nuisance species research program that received funding from Congress in FY19, which is the current fiscal year, to specifically do some research on harmful algae. And so I am provide the funding source for the project, the Habitats project just took place at Lake Okeechobee.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the process that is used. Can Dr. Page or whoever's most appropriate, can you explain how this works in as simple terms as possible in a way that somebody listening might be able to kind of picture?
Sure, absolutely. I can start, and Bill, you can fill in on the DAS system as we go here. But there's 3 key steps. One, first is the interception step, and that's where we're talking about getting the algae out of the larger water body. We want to do that fairly selectively without having to pull all the water out of the lake or canal. So to this end, we're looking at mechanisms for focusing and concentrating algae towards a collector system. So we have think about a floating skimmer on a pool, but bigger, that can pump a lot of water. But algae tends to grow and prefer being towards the surface in many cases. And so if we can focus and concentrate the algae there, we can get more of the algae out without having to treat all the water. Obviously, for a scalable solution, that reducing the amount of volumes that have to be treated is important. So that's kind of the key focus for the interception step. For the treatment step, we're talking about sort of clarifying the water, removing the algae from that water in a more concentrated form, which reduces the amount of waste we have to manage, and then returning clean water to the environment. So I'll let Bill talk about their dissolved algae air flotation process in a bit here. But we're also looking at some advanced oxidation to destroy any microcystin or other contaminants that might still be in the water after getting the algae out. So, again, we're returning the clean water to the environment, and we want to concentrate the algae as much as possible so we have less waste to manage. So then we're left with this highly concentrated organic waste. Just from some of the data, as an example, we were able to put tens of thousands of gallons through the system, but each of those only produces a very small fraction of that comes out as concentrated algae. So we really gear down or reduce the volume of waste to manage. But that waste still needs to be managed somehow, and we didn't want to just think about landfilling or something else that wouldn't be very sustainable, and a lot of people don't want that waste. And at larger scales, really, that's not even an option. So we wanted to come up with a better approach for doing that. And so, again, that algae concentrate, even though it's a much smaller volume, still needs to be processed somehow. So we're looking at this process called hydrothermal liquefaction, again, in coordination with Pacific Northwest National Lab. It's a process that applies a lot of heat and high pressure, somewhat similar to how oil is naturally formed in the earth, but it's done in a reactor in this case, and it's done very quickly. Now, what it does is it converts a large fraction of the organic carbon in there into molecules that look a lot like oil molecules and can actually be used and upgraded into something like a usable biodiesel fuel. And so that's part of our demonstration is looking at that. Again, that's being done at Pacific Northwest National Lab currently. Conventional sort of waste management processes would be more like something like anaerobic digestion. Those tend to have really long residence times, so it takes a long time to process that highly concentrated organic waste. One of the great things about this hydrothermal liquefaction process is that it's a 15 to 30 minute residence time or amount of time to process the material. So in terms of scalability and being high throughput, it's a really exciting opportunity. And finally, the contribution of the high heat and temperature and pressure to the system, that creates conditions that are also going to be very destructive to any toxins that are in the algae concentrate. And so that, again, we're doing experiments to show that that actually destroys the toxins, again, making the overall waste management process more efficient and safer.
If you're just joining the show today, we're learning about a new pilot project exploring a technique for removing blue-green algae from the waters of Lake Okeechobee before it winds up in the Caloosahatchee River in its estuary, not to mention canals all along the river. My guests are Dr. Martin Page. He's a research program manager with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Engineer Research and Development Center. Dr. Linda Nelson is a program manager in the Corps' Aquatic Plant Control and Aquatic Nuisance Species Research Program. And Bill Colonna is a senior project manager with AECOM. The segment is pre-taped, so we're not taking calls, but you can engage with the show and other listeners on social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL.
Bill Colonna with AECOM, anything you'd like to add to clarify that?
I just follow up to Dr. Page's just brief explanation of how the actual liquid-solid separation takes place.
Sure.
When the waters, taken out of the water body, whether it's a canal, a lake, or a river, or whatever, the first step that we use dissolved air flotation, which is also referred to as DAF. There's basically two tanks, if you will. There's a flocculation tank where we induce the algae cells that are in the water column. They're just free-floating little cells. They group together in little particles called the flock. And once you achieve that, the water flows into a second tank where the dissolved air is actually introduced and helps impart buoyancy and floats these flock particles to the surface of the tank. And then you can very easily just scrape the top off. There's a float mat, which is this, the first concentration of algae, and it goes into a slurry tank. From there, it gets dewatered, typically through a belt press or a plate and frame press, and you get to that that state that Dr. Page was talking about, where you've now got a an easily transportable, you know, volume, where you've greatly reduced the amount of weight and space that the algae originally was in the water column, to something that is a feedstock rather than a waste for these other possible uses, hydrothermal liquefaction being the one of primary interest.
How scalable is this? Is this something that could be scaled way up?
Oh, absolutely. The scalability of this technology can pretty much meet any need anywhere in the continental United States, or globally for that matter. And in many cases, you know, it could go to a 10 million gallon a day, 50 million gallon a day plant, something on that order. Or just have, you know, many smaller ones more strategically placed around a water body. Part of the scalability that we've assessed is to make sure that what we're doing is modular and can be easily integrated and transported so that it can reach the places where it's really needed.
Is this process expensive, or what is the downside? Because it sounds like, I don't want to say a magic bullet, but in terms of, you know, there's a lot of algae blooms around the world that need solutions. If we can turn them into biofuel, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, as we all know, there's really no silver bullet, but it's an important tool in the toolbox. Downsides are, you know, upsides and downsides for that matter. That's why we're in the pilot demonstration phase of this, trying to work out some of the intricacies of the system as a whole. So I think that it's a proven technology that is scalable, and with the support of the Army Corps, we're looking at ways to bring it to the front line to really do something positive.
So now that this pilot project is done and you're moving forward, what would be next in terms of moving toward implementing this?
Great question. And so we're doing a lot of data analysis and still waiting on some data to come in from some of our partner labs, such as Pacific Northwest National Lab. And we're going to take that data and look at the integration and really assess the scalability. So certainly the systems are physically scalable, right? But there's more to scalability than just can we actually do it. As you mentioned, there's a cost piece that needs to come in. And then we need to think about, well, at what scale can we have a significant impact on an event, an HAV event, and what's practical. I'd say one of the great things that excites us all about this approach is that we are looking at this resource recovery piece, and we're trying to come up with systems that will scale economically, in addition to just being able to physically do the work at scale. So I mentioned the hydrothermal process, the liquefaction process. So one of the things I did not mention about it is that if we have a system that can clarify the water and concentrate the algae as much as the DAF unit is showing, and getting that mass concentration up to, we're looking for 15% solids or more, you can actually have a positive return on your energy across the hydrothermal liquefaction side. So you can actually be net energy positive on that step, which can help the cost of the overall system. So there's a lot of other pieces that will come into play. We're trying to do things like reduce the amount of manpower that will be required, and we'll be analyzing all that as a part of this. Going forward, after we do our initial report, we're going to pending funding for next year under Dr. Nelson's Aquatic Nuisance Species Research Program. We're looking at doing a longer pilot where we actually bring the hydrothermal liquefaction technology out on site. And as Bill mentioned, we're really trying to get more mobile so that we can go out and attack a bloom where it's at and be a little bit more mobile in that regard. There's reasons we set up at the Moorhaven site this year, but going forward, it would be nice to have a little bit more mobility and a little bit more flexibility, because these blooms are very dynamic, and so flexibility to have sort of a quick response force capability would be a great step.
That was going to be my next question, actually, was, you know, so this is something that's being done from the side of the, you know, the lake now, so the idea would be to put it out on barges or boats or something like that?
That would certainly be one of the scenarios that we analyze, and again, look at sort of the economics of that approach and the overall impact versus having something that's more of a sit back and wait. There's an energy trade-off there, right? If you're pulling systems on boats, and there's energy and manpower associated with that, whereas if you have sort of a collection system similar to what we have set up now, it's more of a wait and let it come to us approach, but there's a lot of, we're leveraging the energy in the water system itself. So there's trade-offs both ways, and we're looking at both scenarios.
Dr. Nelson, I know you can never predict funding in the future, but does it look like this is going to be something that there will be funding for going forward?
Good question, and I am hopeful. We've had a lot of interest in this particular project and the other projects that we're funding on harmful algal bloom research, and at this point, I'm confident that we'll see some funding to continue on in the future. So I am hopeful.
Is the Corps considering any other novel approaches when it comes to removing algae from the water or preventing it from, you know, occurring?
So we have used this particular funding to look at four different projects, actually. One is the Habitats project, which we're talking about today. We're also evaluating peroxide-based algicides for their use in Lake Okeechobee and other water bodies. And the objective is just we've talked previously, that there's no one solution fits all, but another technology is to use some of these algicides, and where can we use them, and what are the best management practices for using them in a particular situation. So that's another project that we're looking at, that we're investigating. And also, we are developing remote sensing tools to be able to early detect HAB events, harmful algal bloom events, based on water quality indicators. So that's another project. And then we're also funding a project led by USGS and Nova Southeastern University to understand the key drivers and life cycle patterns of bloom events in Lake Okeechobee, because it's a lot of information that we don't know about what biotic and abiotic factors trigger bloom events in that system. And so all of these projects together, we're hoping to get a better understanding of what goes on and what triggers a bloom event, and how can we best mitigate the negative impacts of bloom events.
Are any of you familiar with the new research that's gotten underway here at FGCU? They're trying to figure out if there's a way that they can use microphages to kill blue-green algae in the water.
This is Martin. I did see your article on that from your organization, and I have some experience working with phage in the past. I think that's been an interesting area of research. And that's all I'll say about it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's still certainly in its infancy, so it's, you know, there's no there yet. Also, are any of you all tracking the Everglades Foundation's George Barley Water Prize? They've put up, I think, $10 million to try to find a way to remove nutrients from water at scale, if I think I got it right.
Yeah, this is Bill Colonna. You know, we're familiar with the project, and I know that there's been a lot of interest in the barley project for a long time. I think that it's showing some promise. It's one of the things they're trying to achieve, of course, is a practical solution. We've evaluated, putting in a submittal, if you will, or becoming an applicant, and not necessarily with the dissolved air flotation that we're working with the Corps on. But it's something to watch, and there's some very interesting research coming out of that.
That is all the time we have for today's show. Thanks to our guests. Dr. Martin Page is a research program manager with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Engineer Research and Development Center. Dr. Linda Nelson is a program manager in the Corps' Aquatic Plant Control and Aquatic Nuisance Species Research Program. And Bill Colonna is a senior project manager with AECOM. If you missed part of today's show, you can always hear our episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thank you for listening. I'm Mike Kinnairy. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.